Good morning. This is a continuation in the Transportation Economic Development of Ways and Means of Senate Bill 5526 dealing with Housing and Community Services Department. This continues the work session which we commenced on Saturday. This is a carryover of that work session, and we're continuing today. With regard to the Housing and Community Services Department, we passed out all portions of the budget to current service levels and all policy option packages, with the exception of 090 and 110 dealing with some program reductions in the Housing Department for homeless assistance. And we've got some revisions in the amounts from our legislative fiscal office, and so there's also unresolved budget issues which should be should have been passed out to each of you. And we'll turn now the time to Rick Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the subcommittee. I have passed out a memo to you that discusses the unresolved issues from last Saturday. Package 090, as you recall, shifts $1.4 million general fund to the Housing Development Homeless Assistance Program, which is will be spent in Package 110 for homeless assistance through the emergency housing account. Delafoe recommendation in Package 090 also reduces the general fund by $3,391,587. There's proposed language here for an amendment to the bill that would establish a general fund special purpose appropriation in the emergency fund with those general fund dollars. The dollars from the public purpose charge of the energy deregulation bill, Senate Bill 1149, would be used to replace those general fund dollars. In the event that the energy deregulation monies did not materialize, the agency could come to the emergency board and request those general fund dollars be reallocated to the agency. Also, this special purpose appropriation would expire on November 1st, 2002. The package also reduces other funds due to the elimination of the Albina program, which currently is not funded in the Department of Human Services, but I understand it's on an add-back list, and if that does get added back, then these funds could be restored through the emergency board. in addition, that $3,391,587 general fund, when that general fund is transferred into the Housing Trust Fund, those funds then get expended as other funds. And so it's necessary to reduce the other fund limitation by that amount, plus a small amount of interest, $136,000 worth of interest. So the LFO recommendation is modified slightly to approve the reduction of $4,791,587 general fund and $5,264,422 other funds, and then also approve the amendment to the bill.
So instead of $1,736,835, it becomes
$5,264,422.
Of other funds.
Other funds.
Okay.
Correct.
So your recommendation is amended to read approve the reduction of $4,791,587 of general fund and $5,264,422 of other funds.
That's correct, Chair.
And then also approve the amendment to the bill as you previously discussed.
Correct.
Okay. Representative Johnson, recognized.
Mr. Chair, before, I know that we're in work session, but before we proceed ahead with actually working this package, I noticed that Mr. Beverly is in the audience, and events beyond his control may have kept him from offering testimony during the public hearing portion. If he has testimony, could the committee extend him the courtesy of hearing it?
As you say, we are in work session, and we are directed to go ahead and finish this up this morning. We are about 30 minutes into it right now. So, Mr. Beverly, you're welcome to come forward.
Don't take much time.
Okay, if you would, please.
Thank you. Chairman, thank you very much for the courtesy. I appreciate it. My name's Jerry Bieberly, and I'm co-chair of the Housing Coalition. Sorry, I'm having a little trouble breathing this morning. When Representative Johnson suggested this, at first I was reluctant because of the committee's time, and then figured I'd be deficient in my duties as the Housing Coalition, not to say something. The coalition obviously is very concerned about the reduction in housing. I mean, a cut's a cut, and gone is gone as far as we're concerned. We're doubtful that even if housing wanted to use its reserves, it's really not going to be their decision. It'll be the governors and the treasurers. And it wasn't but 6 years ago, Representative Johnson was all over the department for having inadequate reserves. So, you know, it ebbs and flows. And we doubt that that's an option. The dereg really concerns us to replace it with that because, in fact, the 18-month delay holds. You know, if the Senate doesn't change it back, we're like 1 month short of the session, the end of the biennium, before any possibility of dereg money could come down. So the odds are they'll at some point be at the e-board, and that's not a given thing either. So it looks like it's likely we're going to hold production back for two and a half years because there's no guarantee when the new biennium starts that the department can give a grant to anybody. And the dereg money won't fall out of the sky. It's not like $4 million is going to be there when it kicks in. It's going to come in portions. So it'll probably take a year or two to accumulate any money that'll do any good. So it's we see from the coalition's point of view that this action will actually stop housing production for maybe a year and a half, 2 years, possibly three. And that's a big concern to us. The other thing I would note that once the general funds cut out of the budget, it's out of the budget, and so it would be a big battle in 2003 trying to get the governor to add housing back in because DAS doesn't like to add stuff to the budget. So, you know, we're going to lose some real ground. And in regards to the homeless money, I just note that 1.4 is not new money. That money was transferred out of the development account to supplement the homeless. It wasn't that the governor put new general fund in there. It was already taken out of it. It was 4.7 when we started. 1.4 million came out to make it 3.3, and that 1.4 went over there. So it's not like it's an add-on or a, you know what I'm trying to say. And with that, I'll just be quiet unless somebody's got some questions.
Thank you. Are there questions for Mr. Bieberly? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate your attendance here today. There are other funds that are anticipated to be earned for and towards the Affordable Housing Trust, and the concern that we have is to make certain that those funds do go towards the advancing of affordable housing and housing ownership. And I think there is adequate testimony to indicate that there are other funds that are being earned that can be used towards the Affordable Housing Trust or that could be used towards affordable housing and homeless assistance. Other comments? Representative Patridge.
Mr. Chair, I'm happy to provide a courtesy vote to the chair to move this particular budget at this particular point in time, but I would feel a little disingenuous as someone who has been against power deregulation from the beginning, as well as someone who's trying to delay power deregulation, to think that this was a good idea. I will provide my vote today as a courtesy to you, Mr. Chair, and to everyone else. But.
And certainly, if deregulation continues to be delayed and is not implemented, then the department is able to return on the 1st of November of 2002, and those funds, the $3,391,587, would be made fully available at that particular point to continue to advance housing in that regard. So we appreciate that. Further discussion, Representative?
I just want to express my concern at being the fastest growing area in the state with 26,000 folks to have to give away in redistricting regardless of how we redistrict. I know when you have population, you also have a certain amount of homeless and needs in affordable housing, which isn't a very affordable area where I live anymore. I appreciate your hard efforts on this budget, but it is an extreme concern. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator. In that regard, relative to affordable housing and the trust fund, we need to make certain that amounts that are earned thereon should be utilized towards advancing the affordable housing ownership in areas of Oregon where Senate Bill 1149 funds cannot otherwise be expended to enhance that those housing starts. This is a concern that had been expressed to me by another member of the House within the last hour or so. What I'd like to do is I'd like to propose a budget note that would encourage the department to return and report in the interim, perhaps the July 2002 emergency board, relative to its progress and its success in advancing such ownerships being accomplished in the affected areas of Oregon which are not subject to Senate Bill 1149, because the housing monies that would be available, that could be made available under 1149, if that's the way the funds are eventually derived, would be advanced and picked up available to advance housing in the areas of metropolitan Oregon that are affected by PGE and PPNL and not the balance of the state. And that's of concern to those of us who are not in those affected areas. So with that, is there further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Ringo.
I'll just reiterate my comments on Saturday. The problem I have with this is we're defeating part of the bargain that was Senate Bill 1149, and that's why I'm going to vote no.
Thank you. Thank you for that explanation, Representative Ringo. And we did do just a little bit of board work, and it got erased, and then we went back and tried to supplement that information as to how much may be available. Certainly where we are in the process of reserving to a special purpose appropriation and the emergency board the $3.4 million, the potential is that right now earnings under 1149 could be as much as anticipated as much as $5.7 million, which would be a fairly healthy boost. And certainly I understand that the 1149 monies were in fact to boost the affordable housing starts within the state of Oregon. I've had the disagreeable, I shouldn't call it disagreeable anyway, the opportunity in the last 3 months of going down to Southern Oregon a number of times and trying to find affordable housing for my youngsters that live down there. And the comment was made to me, well, we can't find a lot of new homes up in the metropolitan area, starting in the $135,000 to $150,000 area. Well, I got news for you. You can't find any new homes in the Grants Pass area for $135,000 to $150,000. And if you buy a used home in the $135,000 area, you're going to do about $15,000 worth of R&M just to bring it back up to what a livable standard would be. So the whole state suffers, and I don't know whether that's an issue that can be resolved by the housing department, or it probably would have been done by now. And it continues to be an issue dealing with land use and those kinds of things. So we have problems throughout the state with affordable housing, and again, as I see it in the Grants Pass area, it's being largely driven by lenders, which are willing to lend 100% on mortgages and then find themselves 2 years later upside down as people get ready to move out. So they're not able to support their housing even when they're given 100% loans on them. And that's not the fault of the housing authority. Further discussion in this regard, Representative Johnson.
Just by way of notice, I'm going to join my colleague from Washington County and cast a no vote.
Okay, thank you for that notice.
Senator? Mr. Chairman, I have a lot of concern about moving general fund to emergency board. I think it defeats the purpose of trying to help set up more housing. So I'm providing a courtesy yes vote.
Thank you very much, Senator. Representative Pappy?
I just wanted to say, my understanding in talking to the department as well as talking to people locally was is that that 4.9 or whatever was intended to be was supposed to be for rehab and individual, in more individualized housing projects as opposed to what was going to be previously done. So I just think that that was an important piece to get on the record.
For the weatherization?
No. The $4.9 million was going to be to kind of deal with some of these housing issues, repair dilapidated homes, and increase home ownership statewide. And that was part of what was intended on the 4.9. So I just want to put that on the record. That's my understanding of
the
intent.
Okay, Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, with your indulgence, Mr. Replan may have something. You look rather anxious to add something to our discussion.
Please, in the RN work session, I didn't want to carry this out the 2 hours that we did the other day.
I understand. For the record, I am Bob Replan, Director of Oregon Housing and Community Services. Just a couple comments. What Representative Patridge has made comment to, and I think what Mr. Olson is digging for, is the goal as the dereg bill was passed was to try to use that new resource, or that resource that was alleged to be new when it came in, to try to create a parallel environment for our housing partners. Currently, as the chair recognizes, as you travel down to Southern Oregon, there's not a lot of housing stock that is either affordable, and if you do find it's affordable, it's probably in a state of disrepair. Our partners, as they generally, most of our business with our partners, all done in a multi-family setting. In other words, they're building units for rent. They have come to us and said, we can't sustain ourselves on just building apartments because we can't rely on waiting 3 years or 4 years to have that need in our community to come back in. What can you as a department, as a state, offer us to sustain ourselves so we can be here another 4 years from now to be able to build that next apartment? The resource that has been defined as the dereg money, of which we haven't received any, had been planned on being used to match and leverage our CBDG dollars, because we can't use any of our other funds to acquire property for our partners, where they could go out, buy single-family residents, of which they generally don't do today, purchase them, rehab them, and turn around and sell them and make them affordable housing in those very communities you're talking about. So we were going to create a parallel system that this state desperately needs. It has not been done, quite frankly, because there hasn't been enough resources. And so by the consideration that you're doing today, you will effectively take that single-family component out of the discussion for a long period of time and make the partners, your community partners, only be looking at building multifamily in areas that maybe multifamily isn't the best use. Maybe the reinvesting in that standing inventory is a better use. So that action, your action will accomplish that without a doubt. And then the only other thing, Mr. Chair, is that you, in your opening statement, made comments about other resources, and I was wondering if you could help express to where you're talking about those might be.
And yeah, the earnings that we were told about the other day, Mr. Refine had indicated that if this fund was made immediately available, that there could be as much. I think Greg said it could generate something in excess of $300,000 of additional monies for the housing department for homeless assistance and the housing program. So that was, and there are other amounts that are being earned and being utilized, and it's my understanding, on these programs within the department. So if I'm in error, then I stand corrected.
Well, let me just, Mr. Chairman, Committee Mayor, clarifying, any interest that's earned through the resources that are designated either for the growth account and or the corpus account are all rolled back 100% into the funding of affordable housing. There is not a take.
Do you know how much that is?
I think Mr. Krager indicated the interest would be in excess of $300,000
on just this one amount.
On this one amount that would have been added as $300,000 more available to be used as trust account allocation.
What other amounts are there being generated to be added to that resource?
That would be the extent of the interest
that's
we get.
That's the grand sum total.
The rest of the resources come in. That is the only account that we get that has a one lump sum payment. The rest of them come in on either quarterly or some annual basis. And in regards to the energy dereg dollars, or that $4.9 million, that comes in monthly.
That's not even, we tried to negotiate with the power companies to have them front the money so we had something that was measurable at the beginning of a session or a year. And they're saying, no, we're just going to, since there wasn't a direction, we'll pay that monthly. And so Mr. Beverly's comments are correct. It's going to take a long time to build a reserve of dollars. So effectively, with the vote you're going to be making, we will have, starting next biennium, the interest that will be gained off of the corpus to factor in for trust loans.
And how much will that be?
That it gains about $1.2 million biannually because it's on a passbook account. And that comes in not up front, but it comes in dabbles and doses over time. So effectively, we will not have any money in the trust account is what this action will bring.
Other than the 1.2 biennially, 1.2 million that we'll be earning during the interim.
That comes in over the two-year period of time. So as this biennium kicks off, there will not be any resources available.
And in the past, that $1.2 million has been used for?
The trust account, the investment with our partners to get affordable housing in their communities.
And not for single-unit family?
No,
not
sir.
Not for single-family
no,
units. Okay. But there's been a change in policy that it will be directed towards family units, this single family units is next?
No. The only policy discussion we've had is relative to the new energy dereg money that if that comes in. Now, obviously, if that becomes the substitute for the general fund dollars, that probably will trump the discussion for the single family component.
Thank you very much. I do want to say for the record, too, that I did vote in opposition to Senate Bill 1149, and I have voted the 1149 should continue to be delayed. It would be my hope that we would be able to continue on a course that would leave 1149 so that this full $3,391,000 could be made readily available to the housing department, and we wouldn't be discussing basically a tax on the poor within the state of Oregon to provide for housing for the poor. I think that in and of itself is self-defeating. So, okay, further discussion relative to policy option package 090. Now, relative to that, we want to make certain that we do get something in there that would talk to the issue of making certain that the housing department is returning and reporting on their activities relative to the 1.2 million earnings or other earnings they may have to provide for housing in other portions of Oregon as well. Representative Patridge?
Mr. Chair, I'd move the conceptual. Do you want the budget note first?
The budget note first would be fine.
Mr. Chair, I'd move the conceptual budget note as presented.
Okay. Are there any questions relative to a conceptual budget note? And this just talks to those areas of Oregon which do not have the 1149 funds otherwise available. That housing starts would be provided there with funds that would be available from any other earnings, and a report from the department based upon that how they're able to accomplish that for ownerships, single family ownerships, and other portions of Oregon. Any objections to the inclusion of that budget note? Hearing and seeing none, we'll ask for that budget note to be incorporated relative to package 090. I will move that we go ahead and include package 090 and that we follow legislative fiscal office's recommendations and that the amendment to that recommendation that is approving the reduction of $4,791,587 of general funds and $5,264,422 of other funds, and together with that inclusion into the bill, the amendment into the bill, which starts with in addition and not in lieu of other appropriations. Is there any discussion on policy option package 090? Hearing and seeing none, no votes on 090. Representative Johnson and Representative Ringo, and we'll go ahead and record them as the no votes. We will go ahead and include 090, and we appreciate those of you who have given a courtesy yes votes on 090. Relative to package 110, Housing Department and Assistance.
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, this package includes the $1.4 million general fund that was removed from package 090 to be used in the homeless assistance program through the emergency housing account. The package also includes the public purpose charge from Senate Bill 1149 in the energy deregulation bill. So LFO recommends that the package be approved in the amount of $1,400,000 general fund and $6,410,288 other funds.
Okay, so this is a restoration in part of the general funds then?
That's correct.
Okay. Discussion relative to package 110. Representative Johnson?
Well, in some measure, package 090 and 110 go together.
They do.
I don't have nearly as strenuous as an objection to 110 as 090, and to that degree could vote yes on package 110. But they, I want to note that in my view they go together. And
Further discussion relative to 110, Representative Patridge.
Mr. Chair, just a clarification for the record. Are they're going to get, if they get the 1149 money, how much money is, do they get 1149 money for homelessness?
Mr. Chair, no. That's for the Housing Development Guarantee Account.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Okay, we'll move policy option package 110 for the housing and homeless assistance. According to legislative fiscal recommendation, to approve the package of in the amount of $1.4 million general fund and $6.410288 million of other funds. Any further discussion relative to policy option package 110? Any no votes on 110? Hearing and seeing none, we will incorporate policy option package 110. Rick?
Finally, Mr. Chair, also recommending then that Senate Bill 5526 be amended as follows, line 6, page 1, to $10,768,049, line 7 on page 1, to $2,656,021. Line 11, page 1, to $76,601,117, and line 14, page 1, to $82,555,637.
And that accommodates then the $3,391,587 plus $136,000 of interest, which is anticipated to be earned thereon. To a total of $82,555,637.
That's correct.
Any discussion relative to the motion or to the Legislative Fiscal Office recommendation on the amendments to Senate Bill 5526? Representative Patridge?
Mr. Chair, I'd move the amendments to House or Senate Bill 5526 as just stated by LFO.
Representative Patridge now moves the amendments to Senate Bill 5526. Any discussion? Any dissension? Any dissenting votes? Hearing and seeing none, we'll order those amendments. Representative Patridge?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 5526 as amended by this committee, including the conceptual budget note, if approved by the co-chairs for the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, that they do pass recommendations.
You've heard the motion. Discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chair, I'm going to vote no on that.
Okay, Representative Ringel?
And I'd like to be recorded this in the
Representative Johnson will vote no.
Mine is a courtesy yes.
And a courtesy yes vote. We recognize that there may be some courtesy yes votes. Thank you very much, Representative Patridge. Senator Yee. Will Senator or Representatives Ringel and Johnson will be recorded as no votes. And we will, the motion to send Senate Bill 5526 as amended to the Joint Ways and Means with due pass recommendation, including the conceptual budget note, will be so ordered. Further discussion? Carrier, Representative Patridge?
I just wanted to say, Mr. Chair, for the record, I will be approaching the co-chairs. I would ask that other members of this committee, as well as yourself, approach the co-chairs about add backs. I think this is of a lot of items in the budget, in, you know, even in the DHS budget as well. I think this is a very sensitive area that I think is critically important to Oregonians. I'd like to see some more money put in housing. We pushed hard. In fact, we passed a bill across the House floor at the request of Mr. Beverly earlier on this session to try and put together a comprehensive strategy on housing. We've continued to fail to do that in Oregon, and I think that that is unfortunate.
And I think that the members of the committee had actually worked towards trying to help in the restructuring of the Department of Human Services to see if we could not bring those general funds over for precisely that purpose to the housing department, so that we wouldn't be moving this to this special purpose appropriation in the emergency board. And I would still like to be able to find those to replace and plant these monies back into this department rather than doing this at this particular time. So that point is well taken, and it's my understanding that they're still in the process of trying to find some common ground that we can do that in the Department of Human Services, and this may be the incentive for the Department of Human Services to free up that $3,400,000. So we appreciate the good work and recognize the work that Representative Ringo has done to try and help us out in that regard as well. In further discussion, let's see, carriers to the full and to the House and Senate. Don't everybody throw your hands up at once. I guess I better be the carrier for the full and the House and in the Senate. Recognizing that Senator Yee gave a courtesy yes, Senator Carnell, will you carry that there? And we hope to have better news sometime this week so that we might be able to come back and amend this recommendation accordingly. With that, we will go ahead and declare the meeting closed. Thank you very much. Thank you, folks.